are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
And it is so nice to be here, Paul. Right?
Yes, it is. March 6th. It is. It's magical. I'm all a tither. I'm sitting here
well,
beside myself. I am. Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
Yes, I'm all a tither until they caught me at it one day. Okay. Here we go.
Lady.
Okay. Well,
right out of the gate. We're starting off bad, Michael.
March 6th, significant day. It's my mother's birthday.
Really?
Yes, and she's 90. Six.
96.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Happy birthday to her.
If I could only find her now.
Throw some applause.
Thank you, Rosalie.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, ladies and gentlemen, the entertainment industry used standard around the
world. He's drunk.
Let me start all over again.
He's always drunk.
I know. I had a little Banaca before.
Is that what it was? Is that what they're calling it now?
That's what they told me. We would like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And our guests today are two of the stars of 50 Shades, the musical, the original parody of the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy, which, as press notes state, has shattered sales records around the world with more than 32 million copies sold in the U.S. alone.
And in 2015, audience can expect a Universal Pictures feature film release, which promises to be a cinematic blockbuster. 50 Shades of Musical is a laugh-out-loud night of fun that you won't want to miss, and we'll tell you more about it and meet the show's stars in just a few minutes. But let's give them a little musical kickoff for that. Looking forward to me. I think, Michael, before I talk about my week, I want to say that I don't think collectively we've had more beauty in our studio in 188 shows.
Oh, well.
You know?
That's such a good...
I mean, even they even send beautiful publicists here.
Yes, they do.
It's unbelievable. Oh, don't be quiet. You can talk. She was laughing before, and she was like, oh, no, laugh out loud, please. It's all I got. You know, it's all we have here.
I don't know.
Oh, no, it's okay.
We'll come to you both in a minute. But, Paul, how was your week? You were out of town.
I was out of town. I went to the Sedona International Film Festival for our premiere of The Beating, the short film I wrote, and it was wonderful to be treated like a celebrity for a couple of days.
Well, you are. You're a radio star, and you're a film star, and you're a television actor.
You need to get out more. it went very well. Thank you so much for we had two packed houses, great questions about the film, and got to see Susan Sarandon's new documentary that she produced about homelessness, which was so sober.
Was she there?
She was there, but she wasn't at the screening we were at because I got that whole, 500-yard thing. I can't get too close.
Oh, the restraining order.
But exactly. So, and oddly enough, for Ed Asner, too, he was there.
He had the same restraining order.
He has the same restraining
Susan
order.
Susan put it out on him, too?
Yeah, I'm a chameleon.
Oh,
yeah, I stalk all types. But no, it was great. The only thing that was bad was that it poured the whole time we were in Sedona.
As it did in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So we were with you in spirit.
Yes. Yeah. So how about your week? How did your week
go? Busy going to the theater and reviewing, which we'll talk about later in the show today, and just kind of catching up with a lot of things. Just closed The Producers down in Redondo Beach.
Which I saw, which was absolutely hysterical.
Yes.
Really enjoyed it.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it. And your mother was with you.
My mother loved it.
And your
this
wife.
This is the one with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, right?
It was, Mom. It's not, they don't tour with it for 30 years. They sort of kick it off and then other people do it. Oh, okay. He's good. He reminds me of Nathan. Well, it's the same role, Mom. So the other guy reminds me of Matthew.
That's really what his mother sounds like, too.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, she's lovely. 20 years of cool will do that for you.
You are lovely.
Cool menthols will just give you that whole.
She doesn't still smoke, does she?
No, she doesn't, but 20 years will leave some residue.
Yeah, well, I would imagine so. But, you know, she's a lovely lady.
She's a lovely lady.
Will she be coming back for the new play that you're getting ready to do?
She'll come back for Wake. Yeah, she comes back for all the Seaglass stuff.
Fantastic.
Look at me. What am I doing? What is this about? I'm just like...
And I feel like I'm in the zoo.
Sorry. Anyway.
It's okay. There'll be other days.
I don't know what it is.
But, I'm glad, you know, for your success with the film, and I know it's the first of a few festivals that you're going to be entering.
Yes, we go to Collegetown Film Festival at Penn State. We've been asked to speak, and I go to Columbia College in Chicago. And we may be at Cal State Northridge for Collegetown Film Festival's next spot, which is really cool because one of the kids in the film, he's not a kid, he's about 19, but... Gabriel, who is the disabled boy who is...
Amazing young man that he is, yes.
It was very important. The victim in this film is disabled, and it was very important to us to get a disabled actor to play the role. And oddly enough, he attends Cal State Northridge, where the festival will stop. So that's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Turf.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And we have these lovely women in the studio today that we should probably...
Go ahead, Michael.
Introduce,
right? Give them the intro they are so due, would you?
Yeah, I absolutely will. Before we do, just real one quick little aside before we get into Oscars. We want to talk just a minute about the Oscars.
Okay.
And I know that you saw them. I saw them. I happen to love what Ellen DeGeneres did.
And I did not care
and
for
you did
it
not,
as much.
You
no.
see?
I did not. I found it a little too indulgent. I thought she spent a little too much time in the house doing the shtick. And I like the fact that it was, you know, but that's just me. And a lot of the reviewers didn't agree with me. Hollywood Reporter agreed with me. They trashed it. But most of them didn't.
Yeah, the one that wrote that. Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
But the woman from 12 Years a Slave, best acceptance speech of the evening.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Was Jared.
Yeah. We agree on one thing. I found that Jared Leto.
Yes.
I did not like that they just sort of planted Eliza and Lorna and the brother in the audience like they were waxworks.
Well, they couldn't probably get Eliza out of her seat to get up on the stage. She had to do anything there.
She looked a little impaired.
She looked impaired and unhappy.
Yes. Yeah, I think that joke in the beginning sort of set the... But, you know, the thing is, though, that joke that Ellen made, it wasn't about Liza Minnelli's appearance. It was the fact that every drag queen in the world does an impersonation of Liza Minnelli. So that...
True.
You know.
True.
So, anyway... You're holding up flashcards.
No,
what's that
I'm
about?
Sure it was interpreted like everybody thought, which is what, you know, not what you just said, but
right.
meant to be.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. We'll find out what the ladies have to
we
say
will.
About that, too. But our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, is an award-winning comedian who spent 10 years training, performing, and teaching at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York City.
Great group.
She has appeared on Conan, The Electric Company, A&E, and has voiced numerous commercials on your televisions and radios. She now lives in Los Angeles and is currently on stage co-starring in the U.S. national tour of 50 Shades, the musical, the original parody running now through March 30th on a just-announced extended basis at the Center Theater Group's Kirk Douglas Theater in Culver City. Please welcome the lovely and talented Glenys McCarthy.
Yes.
There you are.
Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you here.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is one of those things, the 50 Shades of Musical, which I mentioned it to Ronan, and it just elicits a laugh just giving the title out. I'm sure both of you ladies have encountered that. It's just like the possibilities just run rampant in one's mind.
Yes. Well, did you read the book?
What's that?
Did you read the book?
No, I had my wife read it aloud to me.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Well.
I did not read the book. No, I did not.
I did not either. I certainly know of it and what it's been doing in this country and around
You don't
the
need
world.
To read the whole book. You can just go to the web and read the excerpts.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
you
can. You can get the
Now,
idea.
Let me ask you both this. Did you, we'll start with you, Glenys. Did you read the book prior to knowing about this project or auditioning for the project, or did you read it later?
They called me in because I know the people that do the show, so they called me to do the show. And I went to Chicago, and we put the show together in a week. And during that week, I read the book, and it was real sexy. It's real sexy.
Really?
Yeah.
Sexy read.
It's a real sexy read. I missed my husband a lot. And then I kind of got a better idea of what we were lampooning. So it was more fun after reading the book.
So now, obviously, it's a parody, so we're going to stick to the primary narrative. I'm assuming it sticks to the primary narrative of the book. Mm-hmm. It just sort of goes off. And I love parody, as you know, from the work
so
that
do
I've
I.
done, the literary parodies that we've done.
Yeah.
And what have some of the audience reactions been to it? Are there highlights that people mention that are their favorite
mm-hmm.
moments? Or, and don't
Always.
Reveal anything you don't want to reveal, but can you share some of those?
There is a scantily clad Christian moment that people tend to really love.
They love it.
They really just, I mean, we sit backstage and we know exactly what the audience is screaming about every show.
Time. It's so great.
Because we're waiting for like the oh, and that, we know what that is. And then we see the oh, and then we know what that is. And then we see the like, oh my God, and we know what that is. So
we all know
just,
that.
Yeah, we know what that is. So you're going to get ready for a lot of those screams.
Scantily clad Christian moment.
Yes.
Boy, that's one of those things that asks more questions
absolutely.
Than it answers.
Absolutely.
Guess you have to see the show, don't you? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. We should share a little bit of the show that we have with us here. This is
track.
Yes,
we have a track.
From the 50 Shades of the Musical, the original parody, original cast recording, prominently displayed in the lower corner, parental advisory. Explicit
it
content.
Is. Actually, I think it's no one under 13. Is that right?
Oh, I think it's 18.
18?
I think it's 18. Yeah, at least 16.
I want to look in the press notes. I think they said...
I mean,
maybe they said it. Sounds like it should be 18, right?
Oh. I would bring your... Think.
Well, it's parental discretion. It depends on how advanced you want your children to be in certain areas.
If you want them to be able to make these jokes already.
You're right. No one under the age of 18.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, which is, you know, and the thing is, you know, something like this, I mean, I don't want to judge anyone's parenting skills because I don't have children
right.
myself, but, you know, 50 Shades the Musical, how much do you have to be told that it might not be appropriate for a young
people? Well, and that's what it says, but you know? It says no one under the age of 18 but does not cross boundaries that would make general audiences squirm.
Well, then why go? No, I'm kidding.
I will say they just did 50 Shades of Oatmeal on Sesame Street, so I have nothing else to say
really?
In life ever. Yeah.
Are you serious?
50 I'm
Shades
pretty sure
of
that,
oatmeal.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Oatmeal.
Really?
But Cookie Monster can't eat cookies anymore, so that's,
oh, right,
that's
of the whole,
taboo, but
yeah.
he can do 50 Shades exactly. of Oatmeal. Sure,
did
guys.
You, and you, I, Michael mentioned in your bio that you did work on Electric Company?
Yeah.
What
I,
did you do on that?
I shot the pilot for them. And then I did a couple of different like characters. I did a woman who owned like a knick-knack shop, and I did a town. I don't remember what I was doing. Something with like the forms with city council. So just wacky characters.
The pilot. Did they sort of were they bringing Electric Company back? Or?
Yeah, they brought it back, and they wanted it to be. There was this group called Freestyle Love Supreme that's like freestyle rapping and improvised rapping, and I do a lot of musical improv, and so I knew these guys from that. And they wanted it to be that kind of like older, you know, with a bunch of improv and some
okay.
rapping and stuff. And then they kind of decided to skew it to a younger audience. So
gotcha.
Cut all of us. But I was lucky to like be able to go back in and do some fun characters
well,
with them.
Upright Citizens Brigade is like they're known for musical. I mean, they do a lot of musical improv. Am I right?
I would like to say that my old comedy partner and I are kind of. Responsible for getting them to do more because
oh.
we were doing it when nobody liked it. And they thought it was kind of a hacky, you know, like
right.
a, you know, so like a crutch kind
yeah.
of thing.
And then people howl and it's like, oh, we could work with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And then
yeah.
we get a standing ovation. And they're like, what? We don't get standing ovations. How did you do that?
Well, speaking of standing ovations and speaking of music, let's play this track from
yeah.
50 Shades of Musical. This is, called just that. I believe this track is called 50 Shades. The only one we were advised against playing on the air was I Don't Make Love, because apparently it was just a little racy, even for our internet audiences, and we know how judgmental you can be
yes.
well, about languages.
Wait a minute. I'm not judgmental.
You're not judgmental.
I'm prudish.
No, you're not prudish.
He's refined.
You're refined. Yes.
And
you're
we have a ratings you know, code to live up to.
Oh, that's right.
iTunes,
that's right.
Which is where a huge audience follows this show. So we
right. And if we don't put explicit on that, then we can be in trouble.
That's right.
Right. That's right.
Okay. Well, let's throw caution to the wind and play this track from 50 Shades, the musical.
I used to live my life knowing wrong from right, doing everything I oughta. It was all so black and white. But here's a big decision that I have made. Wanna open my eyes and see all 50 shades.
50 shades.
You know you gotta see them.
50 shades.
And now we gotta be them.
50 shades.
All the colors of the rainbow.
50 shades.
Oh, 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 oh.
Suburban life is driving me in. But forget those traffic rules I always have obeyed. Gonna straddle the line and see all 50 shades.
50 shades.
What fortuitous timing.
Miss Jessica Joy and Megan Murphy.
All right.
Wow. Yeah, there you go, lady.
That's a rocker. That's a rocker. That's a barn burner.
Oh, and that's yeah. Where Glennis sings that song on the show.
I do sing that, yeah. Well, I don't sing the lead. That's Tiffany DeSette, but we all sing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's all the girls.
It's all three of us.
It's the book club.
And we have our little solos in there, so yeah. But she takes the lead.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Now I have to go see this show.
Yeah.
Very excited. Yeah.
Well, and you have plenty of time because I'm going to tell you exactly how you can go.
All right.
As you mentioned, now extended through March 30th.
Mm-hmm.
This is at the Kirk Douglas Theater, 9820 Washington Boulevard in beautiful downtown Culver City. A lot of dining options around there. We always talk about that. You could park once. You can walk to stuff, which is not as common in LA as in other cities. So we always like to call attention to that. Tickets, 213-972-4488. That's 213-972-4488 or 50shadesmusical.com. And 50 is not written out. It's numeric, 50shadesmusical.com. And we will throw that information out there a couple of times before the end of the hour. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays at 8. Saturdays at 5 and 9. Sundays at 1 and 6:30. You guys have a schedule.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
We're working.
Yeah.
It's
wow.
A professional schedule.
two Saturday shows and two Sunday shows.
That's
what's the running time of the show?
It's about 90 minutes with an intermission.
Great.
Yeah.
No, nice.
No intermission?
Lean.
With an intermission, 15-minute, yeah.
See, I'm all over that. Yeah. I love the lean shows. 90 minutes with intermission is a perfect crackling time.
Yeah, right. If it was longer, people would die from laughter.
Well said.
Thank you. What are you going to do?
Really?
They just died from laughter.
Oh, call the morgue. We did it again, y'all.
So they're in the aisles. They're dead, mm-hmm. but they're in the aisles.
We actually did have a woman wet herself accidentally in Washington, D.C.
Really?
Had to get escorted out the poor woman. She was laughing too hard. She was having too much fun. What can you do?
That's right up there the most mortifying things.
Where did you play in Washington, D.C.?
We played at the, now that was 4 months ago. Isn't that terrible?
Theaters.
It's kind of been like being in
the Arlington, arena?
It wasn't the arena. It's right across the street from, like everything. It's right by the mall. Gosh, this is terrible. I'm sorry.
It's something that's
How many venues
past,
has
anyway.
It been? I mean, you've been on
this
the road.
This is actually our 69th venue.
True.
Oh, my
gosh.
Wow.
Which is such a
how long have
perfect,
you been on the road?
Perfect number for this show.
Yeah. It is perfect.
To stick
especially
with
for LA.
Well,
yes.
The tour started last, I want to say last
April.
April,
and then I've been on the tour since July, end of July. and now we're in March. So
yeah,
and Glennis was on with us for a while in there, and is back with us in.
I wasn't
Los
even
Angeles,
supposed to do
great.
This run actually out in yeah. LA. The girl who Alexis Field, who usually does my role or took over for me on the tour, ended up breaking her ankle
on her first day.
Yeah,
wow.
I had nothing to do with it. Paul, don't look at me like that.
She just. Why does she have that purse full of marbles? What's that about?
It was a showgirls moment. I'm not gonna lie. I'm taking over.
We're all really nice to Glennis.
What?
So now, but now, as we all know, as a lot of people know, anyone who's produced theater knows pretty well that women are primarily the ticket buyers. Women usually buy theater for live theater. Women usually buy
yes.
live theater tickets and bring either a husband in tow or friends. I would imagine that this is the great woman's show to
oh, yeah.
bring people to and bring you know, friends. Do you see a lot of that? Do you get any contact with the audience? Do people share
oh, sure.
stories
oh, yeah.
like that?
Yeah, we see women's groups coming. Women's groups? It sounds
women's
like they're
groups.
All crying. But no.
But I mean, limos full of yeah. women with their oh. gray ties and their knee-high black boots, and oh, they yeah. are ready to
with their what? Oh, with their gray ties.
Gray
of course,
ties.
Because
the
of
right.
handcuffs.
Right.
They'll have handcuff
everything.
Necklaces. And, oh. Yeah, they love it. And we do see women bringing their husbands and
lots of husbands,
much to the husband's chagrin, until the show's over, and then they're like, "I didn't know what to expect, but this was pretty cool."
That's always the case. I mean, so much of the time that's the case. I did Tony and Tina's wedding in Chicago
right.
for years in way back, but you know, long many years ago, and it was exactly that. At the start, you always see that sort of like chagrined husband just sort of there, and then by the end of it, they're wearing a lampshade and standing on the table.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so. Okay to have fun, guys.
Yeah. It's okay yeah. to laugh.
Glennis, let me ask you something. You've done so many things in your career. I mean, you're a writer. You were in the New York Times, noted for your website, right?
Mm-hmm.
The GLOC.net, GLOC, Gorgeous Ladies of Comedy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And beyond that, also created something called Dance Dance Party Party.
That's right.
What is that?
Well, my friend and I, we hated going to clubs, but we loved the experience of dancing in a club, and mm-hmm. we just couldn't replicate that in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they have these anti-cabaret laws, I think it's called, where you can't dance in certain venues.
Mm-hmm.
And so my friend and I were dancing in this bar, and we got told to stop. And I was like, what is this, Footloose? Am I not? What is happening in here? Am I Kevin Bacon? So I was like, well, screw the man. I'm going to go and create my own. So we created this Dance Dance Party Party, where we would just get into a room, turn the lights down, have like a little light disco light going, and then blast music, and women could just dance, and we would like make up our own dances, and uh-huh. you know, like serving the drinks and like brushing your teeth. Like it was just
right,
whatever
right, right.
you
it
wanted
was a public
to do.
Place
right.
public place. And it was for I always felt amazing after. Now there's satellite branches all over the world.
Oh really?
Yeah,
there do you have a piece
Australia.
Of that?
There's no money involved.
No?
There's no money to be made. It's just
it's
for
just goodwill.
Yeah.
Goodwill
for
women and
yeah.
fun. Goodwill.
You just
fun.
Remind talking about not being able to dance. There's a great book called The Columbus Chicken Statute, and it is literally a compilation of insane laws
oh,
that
yeah.
are still on the books.
Yeah.
And that's probably in there. That's
oh,
awesome.
I'm sure. And they used to show those on the backs of taxi cabs in New York. They would show like crazy laws.
Oh, the different
yeah.
laws?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They might have been advertising that book. I don't know.
Yeah.
And she's a manicurist on top of it.
I am.
It's a damn good one. I'm looking at her
I just
nails
wish she wouldn't do it during the show because it's a little
really,
distracting.
She's well, got two clients.
And watch the cuticles, hon. Watch the cuticles.
Q? It's my Q?
I'm sorry.
Oh, we have a live
art. I got a rim shot.
That.
You did.
We'll do our live arts calendar, yes. and then we'll get to the lovely Sheila after the lovely Glennis. Okay?
Right. Yes.
The LA Times calls Billy Budd stunning. The critically acclaimed international opera on stage now at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in downtown LA's beautiful Los Angeles Music Center is a powerful tale of innocence and betrayal on the high seas. Based on Herman Melville's classic American novella, Billy Budd tells the story of a young sailor whose unwitting actions compel his captain to make a fateful decision. This sounds a little bawdy, but that's
yes,
my
I
mind.
I have a feeling it is.
Leading the all-male cast. And there we have it. baritone Liam Bonner stars as Billy Budd with tenor Richard Croft as Captain Veer. Bass Greer Grimsley makes his L.A. opera debut as Claggart, the master-at-arms maddened by Billy's goodness and beauty. Continuing his ongoing celebration of the Britain
Centenary.
Centenary?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that three times fast. James Conlon conducts an unforgettable production staged by Francesca Zambello, one of the most dynamic directors on the international opera scene. Billy Budd is not only produced in association with the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden is not only produced in association with the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden, London. Covent Garden. I knew that. I've been around the corner cigar store, Michael, Covent Garden, and the Paris Opera.
That would be in Paris, France.
Thank you so much. Oh, look, a cookie. Remaining performances of Billy Budd will be presented Saturday, March 8th at 7:30, Thursday, March 13th at 7:30, and Sunday, March 16th at 2 p.m. Tickets available by calling 213-972-3008 or by visiting laopera.org.
That's correct. And right across the plaza from the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, audiences are flocking to see the new musical Harmony, with music by the one and only Barry Manilow. A book and lyrics by Bruce Sussman and directed by Tony Special. Now on stage in previews at the Center Theatre Group's Amundsen Theatre and opening next week, March 12th, and running through March 23rd, you can tune in to six-part Harmony and an unforgettable true story of friendship and adversity focusing on the first sensational boy band. Six talented young men who came together in Germany circa 1920 and took the world by storm with their signature blend of sophisticated close harmonies and uproarious stage antics. The group sold millions of records, starred in a dozen films, and packed the houses of the most prestigious concert halls around the globe until the world they knew forever changed. Says Pat Lunar of KPBS, Harmony tells a terrific, touching, tragic but true story. Manilow has artfully captured the era from jazz to jitterbug, novelty numbers to pop and politics. Sussman's lyrics are urbane and clever. And by all accounts, the legendary Barry Manilow and theater veteran Bruce Sussman have created a spectacular new musical with an original score that celebrates this extraordinary group of friends and ensures their quest for true harmony in the most discordant, never-to-be-forgotten chapter in human history. Tickets are available by calling 213-972-7231 or by visiting centertheatergroup.org.
Wow, that sounds fascinating.
Yes.
It really does. And Barry Manilow's trying to get some of that Cyndi Lauper money, seeing how well it worked out for her.
Actually, Barry's been working on this musical for probably about 15, 20 years.
Really?
Yes, and it finally got up on its legs in Atlanta recently at the Alliance Theater there. And went through another work process and then was scheduled to open at this time at the Amundsen on its trek to Broadway, hopefully.
There was my mother had a Barry Manilow album many, many years ago, one of the early Manilow Live, and there was a great thing on it called the VSM, which is the Very Strange Medley, and all it was a compilation of all of the commercial jingles that he's written, because that's how he made his money. And there were about 20 or 30, you know, that you would never know that he was associated with, but all really, man writes a great pop song, very infectious
melodies.
Well,
anybody that can hold an audience for this many decades has got to be doing something right, you know? I mean, on Broadway, he sells out completely to the max, and everywhere he goes. I don't know how the guy gets through all of it, but he certainly has a great team of people around him that help him.
Before we get to Sheila, Michael, you were an active theater goer. You attended something.
Yes,
this week,
I was.
You?
Thanks for bringing that up. Actually, it is a play that was a Tony Award winning play on Broadway, and it was also more recently revived in 2008, and equally as successful. And the Group Repertory Theater, which is one of L.A.'s great theater companies here in North Hollywood, is presenting this called Boeing Boeing by Mark Camaletti and translated by Beverly Cross and Francis Evans. So it plays on Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2, at the Lonnie Chapman Theater, which is one of our great 99-seat houses.
Yeah.
And that's in North Hollywood on Burbank Boulevard. And what my sense of this was, I enjoyed it very, very much. I mean, Larry Eisenberg, who is the co-artistic director of the Group Rep, also directed this particular show. Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
Ladies, have you ever seen Boeing Boeing? It was also a movie with Tony Curtis
some years ago.
It is a farce, a true, true farce. And it's dated. It goes back to the 60s.
Okay.
And it's about a swinging guy who lives in a swinging bachelor pad, and he is having three affairs with three stewardesses who all fly for different airlines.
Do they refer to them as stewardesses in the film?
I think they do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, I'm just curious because it's like I know a lot of flight attendants, and that's the
60s.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was curious about.
And, you know, they are all in those uniforms, and you know, as they used to be, so pristine, and each one working for, you know, Pan Am, the other for TWA, the other one for Lufthansa. And this guy is so clever, who is portrayed by actually a wonderful actor by the name of Paul Cady, who has got his comic chops really up to par here for this production. He is the center, the centrifugal force of the whole thing, actually. Keeping all of the web of mystery together between these three women, because none of the, you know, they don't know that they're all in love with him and they're all engaged to him, and they don't know this until it's revealed slowly through the play, which is very funny. And, you know, you've done a farce, and you know, to keep a farce going, it's got to be done at high, high energy.
Right.
And Larry Eisenberg certainly does bring that to the stage. My disappointment came with a couple of the ladies that played the stewardesses. One is so extraordinary in it, and does such a beautiful job. And the other girls, they're different personalities, of course, but it kind of they don't kind of quite come up to the level.
And it's hard not to compare when they
absolutely. I mean, they do limited. They do a very good job. It's just that it's a very diverse performance that the one woman gives, and she's. You know, she's to be applauded for her work. And her name is Jenny Sue Johnson. Actually, she plays Gabriella. And I enjoyed it. I certainly think that people should go see it, especially if you enjoy comedy. This is one. And a shout-out to Michelle Bernath, who's also the housekeeper in this play and a very, very funny lady with a French accent that is so thick that you have to pay attention to her. And you just – and it's – like it's very charming and very cute.
Clouseau-esque.
And she does a fine, fine job. So go out, enjoy a great evening of theater at the Group Repertory in North Hollywood. And for tickets, you can easily call. And I'm going to give you that number in 1 second. It's 818-763-5990. Or go online, thegrouprep.com.
Our next guest, also a star of 50 Shades, the musical, was born in Chicago. We had a great conversation in the lobby. But
yes,
she grew up in the same neighborhood where Monica grew up.
Really?
Lincoln Square, my lovely wife. We're Foster and Western there by the Brow House. And, no, actually, it's farther up there. But anyway, born in Chicago, studied at both the British American Dramatic Academy and the Second City Conservatory. She once played an alien prize fighter and a lesbian suffragette, though not at the same time. Please welcome Sheila O'Connor. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you guys?
I am good. Michael, you are good?
I am better.
Yeah.
I'm better for having
always.
You here.
Thank you.
So one of the things you said that about being here in Los Angeles that you're so happy about, which the listeners should know because they'll want to see the show, obviously, is that you're going to be here a little longer than you normally are. You said it's been a bit like being in the circus, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, most times we roll into a town. We're there for one night, maybe two, and sometimes we even pack up the bus and we're ready to go that night after the show and we're heading to the next town. It's very, very quick turnaround. So for us to be here for 5 weeks, oh my gosh, that's practically a vacation.
Is this your first time in Los Angeles?
It's not my first time. I actually have a lot of friends that live out here now, and actually my very best friend from growing up, Allie Sheffield, lives out here now. Shout out.
Well, Allie's so, right here. Ladies and gentlemen,
we brought her in.
We flew her in. But I've known
Allie is Brenda Vaccaro, apparently. What is...
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I've known her since I was 3, and now she's going to hate me forever. But so I've been coming out to visit her a lot, which is wonderful. And this is the first time I can say I've been in LA for work, which is really amazing.
Where does Allie live in Los Angeles?
Allie's in Hollywood. She's on the Hollywood
Boulevard,
actually. Totally.
Single?
No.
Oh.
She's actually getting married in June. I'm so excited for her.
Lucky guy.
Yeah. So that means I'll actually be back in Los Angeles in June, which
You're
going to
be in the wedding?
Yes, sir. I'm very excited.
Maid of honor?
Not maid of honor, but I am happy to be standing up next to her. And Richard, her fiancé, is a wonderful guy, too. So,
are they both performers?
They are. They met at the University of Miami. They were both theater majors, and she was a music conservatory major. And yeah, and then they made the move out to LA right away, and they tried to reel me in as well. But yeah.
No, well, nice to be here on someone else's dime and to be on this tour. Who do you play in 50 Shades? We should ask you that, Glennis, too, because I don't think we hit on that. We'll start with you, Sheila.
I play Carol. Carol is one of the three book club ladies. The way you get introduced to the story in general is you see three women that decide to read 50 Shades of Grey in their book club, and we kind of act as your Greek chorus, your narrators for the show.
Oh, okay. That's a great premise.
Yeah, it's really fun, and I would say Carol of the three probably just doesn't get it. You know, like, she's trying really hard, and she just loves hanging out with her girlfriends, but she doesn't understand what it's all about.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So thank God for that book.
So thank God for that book, because she learns. She learns.
Okay. I'm one of the book club ladies as well, Bev, and I also play Catherine Kavanaugh, the roommate from the book.
Okay.
So I get to duel.
So it's almost like, is it like a play within a play type thing? Like the audience is, because that's always nice for an audience. Like the book club, when they have the audience has sort of a representative on stage.
Oh, totally. Yeah. We are definitely the conduit for them. And especially for the men that like don't know the plot, you know, the boyfriends, the husbands that are there, you know, they're with us.
Right. You get a dual explanation.
Absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I think so. Yeah. That sounds exciting, idea. Huh?
You know, you Monica asked would me. Like Monica would howl.
Yeah.
You asked me if I had read it. I didn't ask you. Have you read it?
No.
You haven't?
No. I mean, you know, I've read about it, but I've not read the book. No.
Yeah, it's one of those books that is so many people are aware of, but then if you polled people, I'd be interested to see exactly how many people had read it.
You know, that's very funny because you just made me think of Jimmy Kimmel. You know, he does this thing on the street, has somebody do it on the street where they poll people about things that
aren't real.
Oh, and
so
their
funny.
Response, because they're on television, is
hysterical.
Well, it is hilarious because they're just lying through their teeth.
You know? I saw the one he did with the fake rock bands. Like the fake names of rock bands. Well, I've been following them for a while. It's just
one about the
Angry
Oscars
Puppy or something.
With the Oscars, and the young woman that was had the microphone was saying names of people that weren't even celebrities about their performance in such and such.
That's very much like Carol in the show. She's just very...
Oh, really?
She smiles and nods
Do you do that in real life at all?
It's kind of seeping into my life, unfortunately. No, it's actually really funny. There's like some physical mannerisms of Carol that are very specific, and it is seeping into my life sometimes. I'm like, no, what is this? And then I go, oh, God. And then I go, oh, God. That's terrible.
So when did you join? Was the tour already moving when you joined it, or did it start?
Yeah,
it was already, in July.
In July, and they had already been going since about April. Yeah. So when I joined, they actually was crazy last minute, and they were like, "Can you fly out to San Francisco tomorrow to see the show and learn it?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." Learned it in a week, and then was doing it after that. And
now, why did they wait until the last minute to ask you to do that?
I don't know.
They're bastards.
I know, it's so cruel.
It's hard to cast those roles.
It is kind of hard.
I know, but it's so show business, you know, to do that. And if you said no, they probably, you know, would have put a check by your name and not called you again.
Well, the good news is that I got to say yes in improv and in general in my life, saying yes has been a really wonderful thing to get to do. And the fact that it's brought me all over the country and I've been able to see this amazing place and do this amazing show in so many places. It's amazing. So
you like traveling on the road?
I do. I do like traveling. I think that there's moments where it feels more tiring than others. I feel like there's some cities that I can't actually say I saw because we were in the theater the whole time.
Yeah, right.
But that being said, I mean, when we were in Canada, we got to drive through this beautiful pass in the mountains from Calgary to Vancouver, and the mountains were just the Canadian Rockies. Who knew? I had no idea. Chicago. Yeah. I had no idea.
And you're going to Toronto. You're going back to Canada.
We're going to Toronto. We actually have a show April 1st in Toronto. So we'll have our last show here March 30th. Fly out on the 31st and back at it. So
you ladies are lucky because you're doing a touring show and you're doing it with people, with friends and people that you like. I had the opposite thing. I did a one-man show. I did 9 years, 1,400 performances of this one-man show called...
Well, not all at once.
You know, it was spread out over 9 years, but it was a lot of shows and a lot of time away from home. And I tell you, solo show is already, you know, jumping off. And then to be on the road with that, it was just like, that got old very, very quickly.
You got to really like yourself.
You know what? No, you do. And I began to
now,
see.
Now, wait a minute.
I didn't mean that. No. Well, maybe you meant that.
But you find that I began to realize why people travel with entourages, because all you're doing is just bringing home with you. That's mm-hmm. the whole thing, is just having a little bit of home to surround yourself with.
True.
But I tell you, when you're in the... when you're in the Waffle House in Scranton, PA, with a waitress with fresh stitches in her head, it's a tough place to be.
Can I say, we were in New Mexico, and we got out after a show, and we were at Denny's for dinner, and literally the cooks walked out at the Denny's. That's what time it was, and whoever was supposed to come in next didn't show up. And, like, that kind of stuff is still happening. So me and my girlfriend Tiffany from the show were literally in the Denny's, and there's no cook.
There's usually such fine dining at the Denny's, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah. No, I've had my last patty melt ever. I've had a lot of patty melts.
I'm so thankful for the veggies in LA. The veggies and the fruit. Oh my God.
We were talking about that. The land of the perpetual farmer's market.
Milk and honey to me right now. It's just
where
amazing.
Are you residing while you're here?
We're actually not too far away from Culver City. We're actually close.
Give
to the
address. Go ahead. Give the address or the phone number. Go ahead. Only 100,000 people.
We're closer to the beach. We're closer to Venice Beach.
How nice. Have you been out there to Venice?
Yes. Beautiful. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, poor Chicago's like under feet and feet of snow, so for me this is wonderful.
But looking at that performance schedule, it's not like you have a lot of time, but you at least have some of your days.
Yeah, and Mondays were dark, so we can get a lot.
Have you been to
there.
Shutters down there by the beach?
I have not been to Shutters.
Go to Shutters. Fantastic. Beautiful hotel. Just go and have some breakfast or something.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Great place for that. Yeah. Beautiful. We are talking about 50 Shades of the Musical, which, as we said, has been extended through March 30th. Once again, for tickets, go online to 50shadesmusical.com. That's 50shadesmusical.com, or you can call 213-972-4488. This is at the gorgeous Kirk Douglas Theater there in Culver City. And tickets, you know, this is the thing about live theater in Los Angeles. You would never get this in New York or even in Chicago. Tickets start at $30. You could see a Broadway-caliber show for $30. It's just unheard of. And
but this wasn't on Broadway, but it certainly was a success off Broadway.
Right? Yeah.
But it's, I mean, I'm sure the quality of it is
that, undoubtedly.
You know,
the nice thing, because the Kirk Douglas is part of the Center Theater Group, you can also, ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to be downtown at the Amundsen Theater or the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion at the LA Music Center, you can go to their box office and get tickets for this show.
Oh, there you go.
So it's kind of a nice synergy there.
I'm trying to remember what it was that I saw at Kirk Douglas. It was a while ago, but it was two African women, and they played about a dozen characters, and it was incredibly poignant, and I cannot remember the name, but I will look it up and share it with the... Not that it matters, because no one will see it, because it's not here anymore. But about as far from 50 Shades as you could get. You just left wanting to open a vein after this one. It was very dark.
Oh, God.
But
oh, wow.
A phenomenal thing. We are approaching the end of our hour, we've got a couple of minutes before
we do. So Sheila, let's just ask her a couple more questions I wanted to ask. How much do you love LA? Will you move here?
You are like the 500th person that's asked me that, can I just say? And it's so funny, my girlfriend Allie, it's probably every 30 minutes like, so are you going to live here? You going to live here now? And God, I think I might. It's just beautiful. What's not to like?
Well, you know, in Chicago, that wind that comes off that...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Lake there,
We're a bunch of crazies, but then the spring and the fall come around, and it's just so beautiful. It's
yeah,
hard
that
to forget
one,
how
one or two weeks is great.
It is.
Don't bust it.
I wouldn't want to miss that.
The last winter I was in Chicago before I moved here, I was walking to the train, and my right eye froze shut.
No.
Yes. Yeah. And I stepped into a 7-Eleven, and I'm just like, he's like, can I help you? And I'm just thawing, thanks. Just stood there with my eye. The lashes froze together, and I was like, this is too cold for civilized people. I dated this woman named Edith Simonzadeh. She's a beautiful, beautiful Iranian woman when I was living in Chicago before I met Monica. And she walked out of my apartment and just got into a cab. It was so cold. She just got into the cab. She goes, look, I'm just going down Halsted 15 blocks. Just take me, whatever. And she gets there and she goes to pay the guy, and there's no meter. And she goes, why don't you have a meter? And he said, because I'm a Domino's pizza delivery guy. She just opened the door. It was like so cold, not looking up. She just got in a Domino's car and and he took her. So God knows it.
That's what she thought, he was being held up.
Yeah, right.
All right, I'll drive. Right.
But you know, the thing about Chicago, you know what else happens there? Mm. When it's that cold, there's a phenomenon that I describe to people, and it's called cab mirage. And that is...
You see one.
It's at 20 below, everything looks like a cab that's coming down the street. It's like, that could be one. That could be one. Brutally cold. But what about you, Glenn? Where do you live currently?
I live here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I live in L.A. I'm not joining the tour after, so...
where are you from?
Agents, casting directors.
Are you from?
I'm available.
Are you from
No, I'm from Colorado originally.
Whereabouts?
Durango.
Oh, okay.
Durango, southwest corner. And then I lived in New York for 15 years before I moved here a year ago.
Is that anywhere near La Junta?
Yes, okay. It is actually very close to La Junta.
I'm
yeah.
making a movie in La Junta in October this year.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not very nice.
Don't tell me that.
I said, I'm sorry. It's not very nice.
No, no. But the whole thing is, it's this sort of desolate landscape. So
we'll go to Durango because Durango is just amazing.
Oh, okay.
It's out of a postcard. Hmm. It's beautiful.
Good to know.
Yeah,
good
very
to know.
Nice. You didn't tell us that you were doing a movie.
I can't legally talk about it yet.
But you just did.
But I just sort of dropped it out there. I didn't do the name of the film or anything like that. We just wait on financing.
Well, you know what? It's that time.
It's that time, ladies. We talked about this beforehand.
Our guests.
We have to ask our two guests, and we'll start with you, Glynis, to share with us a performance disaster, something that went south on stage, hopefully where no one was hurt, but if they were hurt and it was funny, go ahead.
In the recesses of your brain.
Yeah, I have two short ones from the same show. I was doing Canterbury Tales when I was in high school, but it was a community theater production, and I was the understudy for a girl who was in The Miller's Tale, and she got heat stroke one day, and I had not prepared at all, so that was my lesson, so I had to go on stage with a script, which was my lesson in being prepared. So embarrassing. And then later in the production, one of the cast members went out on stage with her dress tucked into the back of her pantyhose, and I peed my pants backstage because I was laughing so hard. I just was backstage going, I can't stop peeing. I can't stop peeing. Oh, God, I can't stop. Oh, God, I have to go on in 3 seconds. And so I went on stage with them. Pee-pants.
And then you were asked to leave the theater, much like the woman who was asked to leave the...
I was then banned from Durango, Colorado. I had to move to New York immediately. And, I've never peed in public again.
My wife said... We were in Chicago. We were at a bar called Toons on Southport.
Absolutely.
And my wife and I were in there, and my wife made a best friend for life because a woman came out of the restroom, went right to the jukebox, and the skirt was in the back of the patio.
Yep.
And Monica just ran over to her. It's like, hi, I'm your best friend, and I'm blocking the view. Just you might want to remedy this. And she just turned around and threw her arms around her and hugged her.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's the kinship. So, what was the other one you had?
That was it. Those two little quick stories.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was the second one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had the
did you make
I
was the so distracted by the peeing.
No.
Especially if in L.A. it would have been, a woman pees in pants on stage.
No, it was just even more funny because she was playing a queen and she was so regal. And she walked out on stage and the moment struck me.
And it's church laughter. It's church laughter, which is
when you can't laugh. I was peeing out of my eyes and elsewhere. It was hilarious.
All right, Sheila, you're on.
And there's an image I'm taking with me. Thanks for that. Now the dreams are going to start again. Sheila, what do you got?
So my most devastating moment, it was my first...
You were peed on backstage.
I was peed on by Glenis McCarthy. It was horrible. No, it was my first big show in Chicago. I was in the Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater.
Oh, yeah.
And I was 13, and it was life-changing. I was so excited. And one day I was going out, and there wasn't a bit of glow tape, on the scrim, and the little extra bit that helps keep it down. And so my cue light goes off and I go to turn the corner to go around it and I just trip right over it and Superman dove onto stage and I ripped my dress and I was bleeding and I had to do my one scene, my fan scene to bring Ebenezer home, and I'm bleeding on stage. I'm bleeding on stage. And we finish and we get off, whatever. And there's like 15 people waiting for me backstage because I was supposed to have a quick change anyway, but also to try to like wrap me up and throw me back on for the Fezziwig scene. Oh, it was just...
Because you just do a face plant like that.
It was devastating. It was mortifying. I don't
think... Was the audience wise to this?
Or? I don't know. I mean...
It's
my
really...
mom said she couldn't see it.
Yeah. But it really, a face
all
plant.
Right, honey. I couldn't see
I couldn't
it.
See it. I couldn't see it. I was like, I bet everybody heard it.
Well, yeah. And that's
like
yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's what mothers are supposed to do. Yeah. Nobody falls like you, honey. The way your forehead hit the same time your knees did, that's a talent.
That's amazing.
That
could
is
be
a talent.
Professional faller.
Professional
<You're>
faller.
Really good.
You make falling look good.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Ladies, what a pleasure
you,
it's been having
you,
having
you
both
for
of
having
you
us
on.
Absolutely.
So
50
blast.
Shades, the musical at the Kirk Douglas Theater. Don't miss it through March 30th.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And once again, for tickets, it's 213-972-4488 or 50shadesmusical.com. I just want to say so people don't type 50 in.
They might actually get to the site if they type 50 in. We own all of this.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say probably,
lines,
right?
Yeah.
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 You just type shades.
Just type just shady it. Shades. And you'll get
shady,
there.
Shady, shady.
So fun. So great to have you
thank
here.
You.
Thank you.
And
ladies.
Nikki Blumberg, their wonderful publicist from Davidson & Sherry. Thank you, Nikki. Thanks for being here.
Looking forward to next week, Michael.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Paul. See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.